Scripture, Naram Chaiva Narottamam, Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam, Tito Janam Adirayat, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavati Uttarama Shloke, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text Number 6. So we'll say the Sanskrit, please repeat. Kamani kama bikurvan. Sani mitani deha brit. Tata kama pavam greenan. Brahma tiha suketaram. Kamani kama bikurvan. Sa nimitani deha brit. Tata kama pavam greenan. Brahmatiha suketaram. Kamani kama bikurvan. Sa nimitani deha brit. Tata kama palam greenan. Brahmatiha suketaram. Kamani, various kinds of fruitive work. Kamabi, by the karmendriyas, the organs of action. Kurvan, performing. Sa nimitani, which are imbued with motivating desires. Deha brit, the proprietor of the material body. Tat tat, various. Kama palam, results of work. Grihinan, accepting. Brahmati, he wonders. Iha, throughout this world. Sukha, happiness. Itaram, and otherwise. Translation, impelled by deep-rooted material desires, the embodied living entity engages his active sense organs in fruitive activities. He then experiences the results of his material actions by wandering throughout this world in so-called happiness and distress. Please repeat. Impelled by deep-rooted material desires, the embodied living entity engages his active sense organs in fruitive activities. He then experiences the results of his material actions by wandering throughout this world in so-called happiness and distress. Purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. The argument may be given that if a living entity was subject to the results of his previous activities, there would be no scope for free will. Once having committed a sinful action, the living entity would be bound in an endless chain of suffering, being perpetually subject to previous reactions. According to this speculation, there cannot be a just and omniscient God, since the living entity is forced to commit sinful activities by the reactions of his previous activities, which were reactions to still previous activities. Since even an ordinary gentleman will not unfairly punish an innocent person, how could there be a God witnessing the helpless suffering of the conditioned souls within this world? This foolish argument can easily be refuted by a practical example. If I purchase a ticket for an airplane flight, board the plane, and commence the flight, once the plane has taken off, my decision to board the plane forces me to continue flying until the plane lands. But although I am forced to accept the reactions of this decision on board the plane, I have many new decisions I can make. I may accept the food and drink from the stewardesses or reject it. I may read a newspaper or a magazine. I may sleep, walk up and down the aisle, converse with other passengers, and so on. In other words, although the general context, flying to a particular city, is forcibly imposed upon me as a reaction to my previous decision to board the plane, even within that situation, I'm constantly making new decisions and creating new reactions. For example, if I cause a disturbance on the airplane, I may be arrested when the plane lands. On the other hand, if I make friends with a businessman sitting next to me on the plane, such a contact may lead to a favorable business transaction in the future. Similarly, although the living entity is forced to accept a particular body by the laws of karma, within the human form of life, there is always scope for free will and decision-making. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be considered unjust for holding the living entity in human life responsible for his present activities, despite the living entity's undergoing the reactions of his previous work. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, the influence of Maya is so strong that even in a hellish condition, the proud conditioned soul thinks that he is enjoying life. Om jnana timrandasya gananjanam chulakaya chakshuram mritam yena sasmai shri gurve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapatam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam didata swapadantikam. Impelled by deep-rooted material desires, the embodied living entity engages in his active sense organs in fruitive activities. He then experiences the results of his material actions by wandering throughout this world in so-called happiness and distress. The whole point of the material world is to educate the living entity on how to experience enough suffering to realize that you cannot be happy in the material world. Krishna's love, Krishna's made of love. Krishna loves every living entity. And he wants us all to be happy. That's why he created us. But unfortunately, because we make a bad decision, we decide that we don't want to love Krishna anymore. So then he creates this whole panorama of different material experiences, different bodies, so that we can try to be happy without him. And we see so much suffering in this world. It's just incredible how people suffer so much. And they don't really turn to God. They don't turn to Krishna because they think that some material situation will actually relieve the suffering. But this is not possible, because even if they find some temporary relief, it's very short-lived, and they will still have to learn so many lessons until they finally surrender. So therefore Krishna says, after many, many births and deaths, Vahanam Janamanamante Gyanavam Mampapachate Vasudeva Samamiti Samahatmasadurlabaha. After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So it's very rare that the living entity gets a chance to be a devotee. And so devotees are very few and far between. I go out every day, try to drag a few souls back to Godhead. But, of course, it's a thankless task. Sometimes you meet somebody who's very nice, like this girl I met the other day. Lebanese girl. Very nice, very sweet girl. So she, you know, immediately 18 years old, very interested. I mean, there's some nice people. Most of them are South Americans. They're not actually Americans, I hate to say it. The Cubans are super sweet. But, you know, so she's rare. Most people, they don't want to listen. Some people are nice, but to find that one person that actually, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. Because really, if you're looking for a needle in a haystack, you can spend so many hours, and looking for devotees is the same thing. You know, days, years, sometimes you can go for years without finding someone who's really, I mean, a lot of people say they're interested and they get a book, and that's great. But you know, to get that person that really takes it seriously and really understands the philosophy, that is very rare. But they are out there, and we have to go out there to meet those people. Because this material world is so full of suffering. You know, if you look at the news, actually Hari Shari Prabhu, he said that Prabhupada didn't want the devotees to read Time magazine. Because if you read Time magazine, you get the impression that the material world is a real place. It's not a real place. It's just an illusion. But the suffering is really real, and it's really painful. There's so many people, like in Syria, they had this one school that had 20,000 refugees are living in the one school. Can you imagine it? They have these refugee camps. There's one in Calais in France, right near the English border. And they have barbed wire around it. And, you know, people are suffering so, so much. But still, they don't have the good karma to hear about Krishna. So it's, you know, it's very rare that somebody gets the chance. And even when they have a so-called good life, they can go to the heavenly planets. But Krishna says, even when they go to the heavenly planets, this is in 11th canto, verse chapter 10, Lord Krishna accompanied, Lord Krishna, accompanied by heavenly women, the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice, goes on pleasure rides in a wonderful airplane, which is decorated with circles of tinkling bells, and flies wherever he desires. Being relaxed, comfortable, and happy in the heavenly pleasure gardens, he does not consider that he is exhausting the fruits of his piety, and he will soon fall down to the mortal world. In all the planetary systems, from the heavenly to the hellish, and for all the great demigods who live for 1,000 yuga cycles, there is fear of me in my form of time. Even Brahma, who possesses the supreme lifespan of 3110400000000000, whatever that is, trillion, I guess it's 311 trillion years, is also afraid of me. So, you know, it's just a very complicated world, let's face it. You know, half of the Bhagavatam, or a lot of it anyway, is instructions about the miseries of material life. If you read Lokapiladeva's instructions to Devahuti, there's many chapters there describing how horrible this material world is, how much suffering the living entity goes through. And then if you read the teachings of Narada Muni to King Prachinibharasat, there's a whole several chapters all about the miseries of material life. Then you read about Rahugana instructing Jadvara, all about the miseries of human life. So much information is there. So by the time you've read the Bhagavatam, you really, hopefully, you realize the material world is not a fit place for gentlemen. So and then you're ready to hear about the Lord's pastimes. But as long as you think you can be happy in the material world, you're in a lot of illusion because there's no happiness here. It's a hellish place. I mean, we have a lovely cow, an oxen actually, he was our favorite oxen, and he's dying, and he's just suffering so much. And, you know, just to see him suffering is, you know, it's painful. And the jackals, because they're not jackals here, what are they called? Yeah, coyotes. You know, you can hear him howling at night. You have to go in the middle of the night, make sure they're not, because he's lying and he can't really help himself. This is a hellish condition of life. So this material world is really full of suffering, but people are so determined to enjoy. So there's this verse in the fifth canto. I'm not really good on the shlokas. Nunam pramata kurate vikama. When a person considers sense gratification, the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received the body, which is, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. So, anyway, it's very rare that somebody becomes a devotee. So when somebody becomes a devotee, that's a wonderful, amazing achievement. And it's said that Maya offers obeisances to the person who actually conquers her. So, but even when somebody becomes a devotee, it's not so easy to become a pure devotee. Even when, you know, if you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and what's his name? Gopakumar. He is, you know, he is already born in Govardhan. He's got the Lord himself as his guru, but still he has to go all over the universe. He has to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam before he can actually see Krishna. Narada Muni, he's a pure devotee, but he could only see Krishna once in this life. He said, Krishna says, you will not be able to see me again. So to see Krishna is not so easy. So the whole process of devotional service, of course, is totally infallible. And it's foolproof if you follow it. But it's not so easy to follow it very properly and to be properly engaged in devotional service. So therefore, Krishna introduced the Varnashram system. I'm not really an expert on Varnashram, but I have been listening to some classes by Shiva Ramaswamy about this. He's written one introductory book, a Varnashram compendium, which I think it's very important because Srila Prabhupada said that only 50% of his work was done. And in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many chapters all about Vaishnavism. And Prabhupada wrote very lengthy purports to those chapters. So it's not really enough, you know, that we, I mean, it's great that we have kirtan and we chant japa and we read the books, and Prabhupada gave so many different things. But he said that only 50% of his work was done because the Vaishnavism was not established. Because devotees, we make many devotees, but not that many devotees stay active in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Prabhupada wanted to introduce Vaishnavism, and I really respect Shiva Ram Maharaj because he is, even though he's a scholar, he's written so many books about Krishna Leela, describing Radharani's wonderful qualities, so many wonderful things, but he's seeing the practical side. He's a real leader who wants to engage people in devotional service according to their proclivity. So this is real leadership to me. So Krishna, he of course is the real leader, and everybody's learning from Krishna. So he says in the 11th canto, he's describing Vaishnavism. If you've read the 11th canto, there's a whole section about Vaishnavism, as in many other parts of the Bhagavatam, like in the so many places. There's one verse I was going to read, actually, in the... Okay. This is from the Activities of Maharaj Priyabrata. This is in the fifth canto, text 1. Chapter 1, text 14. My dear boy, all of us are bound by the Vedic injunctions to the divisions of Vaishnavism according to our qualities and work. These divisions are difficult to avoid because they are scientifically arranged. We must therefore carry out our duties of Vaishnavism Dharma, like bulls obliged to move according to the direction of a driver, pulling on ropes knotted to their noses. Purport. In this verse, the words Tantyam Guna Karma Dhammi B are very important. We each get a body according to our association with the gunas, the qualities or modes of material nature, and we act accordingly. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the four orders of the social system, namely Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, are arranged according to guna and karma, their qualities and work. There is some controversy about this, however, because some of us say that since one receives a body according to the guna and karma of his past life, it is one's birth that determines his social status. Others say, however, that one's birth according to the guna and karma of his past life is not the essential consideration, since one can change his guna and karma even in this life. Thus, they say that the four divisions of the social order, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, should be arranged according to the guna and karma of this life. This version is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Narada Muni. While instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira about the symptoms of guna and karma, Narada Muni said that these symptoms must govern the division of society. In other words, if a person born in the family of Brahman has the symptoms of the Shudra, he should be designated as a Sudra. Similarly, if a Sudra has Brahminical qualities, he should be designated a Brahman. The Vaishnavism system is scientific. Therefore, if we accept the divisions of Vana and Ashram according to the Vedic instructions, our lives will be successful. Unless human society is thus divided and arranged, it cannot be perfect. As stated in the Vishnu Purana, Vaishnavism Acharyavatar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Vana and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashrams. All of human society is meant to worship Lord Vishnu. Anyway, it goes on a little bit. So, Prabhupada obviously thought it was very important right on his death that he was talking about Varnashram. And it's not so easy to figure it out because it's, you know, we have a very, we're living in a society where, ISKCON is a society with a lot of different varieties of devotees, and a lot of them aren't really well, they're not engaged with an ISKCON. It's kind of like water without a container. If you don't have a container to put water in, the water doesn't have so much use. So, you know, there's so many... In Hungary, Sriba Ramraj is having a lot of... For several years now, they've been having many discussions about how to introduce Varnashram society, at least into ISKCON, so that people can see a perfect model of a functioning society, so that everybody is working according to their nature, but being completely satisfied. So when they, because they tried to discern what sort of varna people are in. Of course, we've had ashram in ISKCON since day one. Prabhupada, you know, gave sannyas very early on, and brahmacharya, grihastha, etc., etc. But as far as the varnas and an organizing society, because if you don't organize society in these varnas, then you don't have a society with any structure. You don't have a political system. You don't really have an educational system. So it's a very incomplete representation of Krishna consciousness, which will not ultimately be sufficient of an example of how people are organized enough so that they can actually systematically make spiritual progress. So in Hungary, they have many meetings about this. Sriva Ramaraj is very intelligent, and they're all thrashing out. He studied this topic very, very seriously, and he's made it his life goal to try and establish it, which I think is wonderful, because, you know, Prabhupada talked about it a lot in his books, but we don't really see a good example of it in ISKCON anywhere in the world, I don't think. So, of course, people do have natural qualities and natural tendencies, but to be engaged in a functioning whole society that everybody is working towards a very spelled out, very clear goal, it's not really there. So he's working on this, and when he was asked about what varna he thought he was in, because you know, people said to him, well, you write so many books, you know, you've studied all these books and established deity worship, and you worship deities and everything else. So he said, well, you know, I think I'm actually a Vaishya. Because wherever I go, I see good opportunities for making money. So, but then he said, most of the devotees in Hungary, they thought they were actually sudras. Maybe they're just being humble, but you know, it may not be easy for an individual to actually ascertain what varna they are. But whatever varna they are, you know, if they're engaged properly, they're going to be satisfied, because satisfaction is really the most important quality of a human being. Of all the qualities that human beings are supposed to develop before they can even really call themselves human beings, and a lot of them entail simple things like cleanliness, and Prabhupada says, you know, bathing three times a day, or, you know, reading the scriptures, but out of all of them, satisfaction is considered to be the most important, which is not so easy. Because we're living in a nation of dissatisfied people. Who's satisfied? Nobody's satisfied. Everyone's striving to get some material goal. So it's very difficult. So anyway, this is the challenge that he has taken up. And I just thought, you know, that we all know that the material world is a place of misery, and people are suffering a lot, and that actually everyone is really duty bound to propagate Krishna consciousness, because this is really a true devotee has to feel compassion for the suffering of the living entities. And actually the greatest worship, as described in the eighth canto, describing Lord Shiva, it says, Tapyante lokatapena sarva prayasurjana paramaradhanam tadi purushasya kalatmana. It says that Lord Shiva, he drank the poison produced out of the ocean, and he saved all the living entities. So therefore he was glorified by this beautiful verse. It says, great personalities almost invariably undergo great suffering for the benefit of the general populace. Such suffering is considered to be the highest method of worship of the Lord. So the word paramarada, the word Radharani, is very similar, the greatest worship. So the greatest worship, like Prabhupada was doing the greatest worship by bringing this knowledge, which entailed a lot of discomfort to him. And he said that, you know, this preaching is very, very difficult. He was repeating over and over, very, very difficult, very difficult. So sometimes you make a devotee and they're very grateful, and then a little while later they think you've cheated them. This is what he's complaining about. So, you know, it's not so easy, especially in the West, because people are really crazy here. Nowadays, of course, you know, I go to UF and I see so many Indian people, they just want to be like Americans. They have no interest in Krishna consciousness. Of course, there are some wonderful Indian people who have very sweet qualities, which you can hardly find anywhere else in the world. But I was listening to a class yesterday, and this devotee, he was saying how in India now, you know, they advertise, because people are into eating chocolate now, it's a new craze in India. And they have this one advert of a naked woman covered in chocolate. This is India. Somewhere. So, but, you know, it's unfortunate because Indian people have such a great opportunity being born in India. And so, you know, they're squandering that opportunity just trying to be like Westerners. And you approach them and they just have absolutely no interest. So I don't really approach them unless I have to, unless there's no one else around. Mind you, I did meet one really nice one the other day. He was super sweet. He gave me $70. He said, what you're doing is really important. And he was very nice. You meet the occasional ones and they're super nice. But anyway, so we have this challenge. We have to preach. And there's that other beautiful verse, Vasjyasavishvasyakalapasitam jayanti bhutani shivam maturdiya manashyabhadram bhajadada hokshijay vaveshitam no matirapya hoitaki. This is a very beautiful verse in the fifth canto. I'm not sure which chapter. Anyway, it says, Prahlad Maharaj and the residents of Jamadvit are praying, let there be good fortune throughout the universe. May all envious persons become pacified by taking up devotional service. Because if they take up devotional service, they will automatically think of each other's welfare, and the world will become very nice. So this is Svastyasyu Vishvashu, S-V-A-S. So, you know, this is ISKCON. ISKCON is the, you know, we're the people who can change the world. This is the fact. You can't find any philosophy, any culture like Vedic culture. There's no knowledge as supreme. Where else are you going to learn about life on other planets? No one else talks about it. They don't know anything about it. Not that I've read. I read about Gurdjieff before I was a devotee. There's somebody called Gurdjieff. You read that? And he's talking about something like that. But, you know, so specific, the Vedas. There's no question that this is the king of knowledge. But, you know, we have to give people a chance to hear about it. And there are a lot of people out there who are very interested. They may not quite be ready, but, you know, the time is coming that, you know, the world can actually really be changed. So we should all be very enthusiastic to preach, because preaching is the essence. If we preach, then Krishna will always look after us. That's my experience, that if we follow strictly and we preach, then there won't be any problem. All our problems will go away. So we have this challenge, the material world, the living entities are all experiencing so much tiny little bit of happiness and so much distress, and we are the ones who can actually help them. So everybody should go out. Prabhupada said everybody should go out in the Sankirtan party. Lord Nityananda went out, and he went door to door. Haridas Thakur went out. Everyone should go out, and this will make us happy, and this will change the world, because there's so many people who have never heard about Krishna. And the more of us that go out, the more chance they have, obviously, of hearing about Krishna. So it's not very difficult. Prabhupada said, this little girl, Saraswati, Malati's daughter, she's only 4 years old, she's a great preacher. She's going up to people and saying, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not very difficult. You don't have to be a great scholar. If people are actually, Prabhupada said, most people in America are good-hearted. So, you know, most people are reasonable, and you can preach to people according to your capacity, but there are people out there who will be very grateful to you. And it's said also in the Srimad Bhagavatam that nobody can go back to Godhead unless they're constantly engaged in welfare activities for the benefit of others. There's that verse. I can't remember where it is. Anyway, so it's a wonderful life, Krishna consciousness, and it's more enhanced and more wonderful when we go out preaching. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments? Yeah.
Well, you've been preaching for many, many years. Can you give your opinion whether this difficulty in preaching is because of the quality of people in Kali Yuga, or is there an inability to deliver the message?
Well, that's got a lot to do with it. But there are people out there still, you know. I mean, we all became devotees. We're in the Kali Yuga. So it's just a question of getting out there regularly and giving people a chance to hear the philosophy. Or, you know, I always give people, you know, I make some cookies, like right now I'm giving out laglus to everybody who gets a book. I get everybody to chant. So, you know, there are people out there who want to become devotees. But, you know, we do have to get out there and meet them. Everyone has different services, but, you know, in the Kali Yuga, things are getting so bad. You know, people are in so much anxiety about who the next president is going to be that people can relate to anxiety. So, you know, people are very receptive. I meet a lot of receptive people. They don't all immediately, you know, become devotees, move into the temple, but they're receptive. And there's a lot of nice people, especially, like I said, the South Americans. They're easier. Cubans, Colombians, Brazilians, Venezuelans, Puerto Ricans, they're much more receptive from my experience. You had a question for Ruth? Yeah.
I was just, no question, just a comment. For some reason, I was added onto a WhatsApp group recently.
Oh, yeah.
Which is my high school day, not high school.
From your high school in India?
Middle school, yeah. I was in India for my middle school. And so somehow I got added, and then I started studying what they were posting. So these are people I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I was stunned. It was like an eye-opening experience for me. But having said that, they're all still in anxiety. Like there was an attack by Pakistan, some terrorists on the Indian army. And so there was a whole discussion for 2 days on just, everybody's in anxiety, but they don't seem to recognize it.
Yeah.
And they don't want to deal with the Bhagavad Gita, things like that, because that's not progressive. A lot of them say that, oh, this is just a male-dominated society trying to hold on to its moorings, trying to connect with the Bhagavad Gita or older wisdom. So that's kind of the viewpoint I'm getting from these young, well, I'm not so young anymore, but Indians.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Now the reason I think that they are not receptive to the preaching is because Varnashram is in India also. I mean, not everybody's a Brahmin. And those who are Brahmins are, because they're too intellectual, they're not interested in religion. Right. Religion is kind of passé. But a lot of the others are just, Shudras, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they're not interested in these things.
Mm-hmm.
So that, that's why they're so few who are interested.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm sure that if ISKCON becomes well organized, we'll attract the intelligentsia, because they'll see that this system actually works. I would recommend that devotees listen to Shivaram Maharaj's seminars on Varnashram. You can find them on his website. They're very, very instructive. He's really researched the topic thoroughly. His website is called shivaramswami.com. And then there, if you go on the page, there at the bottom of the page, there's a tab with earlier posts, because they're earlier on in this month. He was doing a seminar in Russia at the Baltic Sea Festival. There's about 4 or 5 hours of the seminars. They're really good. He was going to do them in Gita Nagari, but he got sick, because we know that Prabhupada was coming to Gita Nagari on his last trip outside of India, to try and establish Varnashram at Gita Nagari. So anyway, I get a lot of inspiration from them, because I see a lot of, I see ISKCON as a wonderful movement, but it lacks organization, and it lacks leadership and a way to engage people within the confines of ISKCON. Like that. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Oh, sorry. Yes.
I appreciate your enthusiasm about establishing Varnashram, and I was thinking how this is such an exemplary temple, community.
This is?
Yeah. Just by the sheer numbers.
I mean, it's exemplary in a lot of ways, but
many other ways. So, what if in this community we decided we'd like to be an example of Varnashram? Like, what would it take to get that organization happening and, be that example in reality? I mean, is it something that happen here?
I wish I could tell you. I'm afraid I don't have all the answers. But I think, just like Shivaram Maharaj, he got together with the leaders in Hungary, and they discussed it for hours and days on end. And I think it's something that has to be discussed. If the desire is there with devotees, I think it's important. But, you know, he's a real leader and he can, you know, he can inspire people to get interest in this, whereas we may not be able to do that. I don't know about this community, it's just so big, and so anyway, we'll see.
Or could we start with like just having a meeting about Gaur Ashram and see who's interested? And
huh?
As a start.
We could. I mean, we really need to, ideally, you know, if Shiva Ramaraj would come here and do a seminar, it would be nice, but I don't know if he will. He's so busy doing what he's doing.
I'd invite him.
It would be nice. We'll see.
When I've thought about this, I think every devotee's thought about it, is the root is engagement.
Yeah.
So it's a project that has to, when I analyze this, at least three things. Pleasing the Prabhupada and Krishna. something that can engage everyone so they can make their necessities. In other words, it has to generate lakshmi, which would be natural. And I forgot the term, it was 10 years ago. But preaching, that's the other one, is that the outreach, it's going to engage more and more people. And the idea is that everybody has a nature that can be engaged. They're working one place or working someplace else. So the Niramatsaranam Satam leader who sees how I could engage each person. It's an internal thing. Generally, in this kind, it's projects. Let's do a project and you do this part of the project and you do this. And the project's centered. But if you take each devotee, the indigenous people that are there, and you think, what would it take to have you, I came up with an acronym, niche. You know, find your niche. Mm-hmm. Natural inclination, cultivating a higher engagement, which is how I put that into life. So if you find each person and you get each person engaged, and it has to generate lakshmi, generate, and actually I have a 10-page presentation on that.
Sounds
I did
good.
It in
well,
2000 and,
yeah, devotees should get together and try to thresh it out. Because you do have to have an economic base. And that's one of the very important. Yes?
I guess I have one quick thought about that. You know, it's the whole, if you look at the numbers, I mean, as I understand it, I saw this somewhere that out of, divide the varnas, I mean, how many people are in which varna? I mean, just from an analytical point of view,
right.
That one analysis I saw, out of 1,000 people, 900 are sudras, 90 are vaisyas, 9 are kshatriyas, 1's a brahmin. So you got to have 1,000 people before you can even get off the ground, right? Is that what you end up with?
No, you can start in a smaller way. Some people can act in a capacity, you know, that may not be... Anyway, that's a long topic. Hare Krishna.
There's a saying, divide and conquer, right? So, we're all divided right now. And we're living apart, we don't really get together very much. We come, you know, on Sunday feasts, and that's very nice. And or festivals, and we feel like, oh wow, the most amazing thing was being with all the devotees, and having that experience, and doing kirtan together. But if we, Varnashram Project, Daivi Varnashram Project, for what I see Prabhupada wanting is us actually working together and creating our own culture and exiting that culture, the Kali Yuga culture around us.
Yeah.
So it means actually starting to come together and see how we can work. And it may be even many groups of us because we're supposed to work with like-minded people, associate with like-minded even devotees. So that takes time, it takes sacrifice to do, and coming together, figuring out, there may be many villages even in this community. But if we don't start taking that time and coming together, or even starting to you know, going to each other's properties and working on it. And there's something called earning the right as well, where if you don't start something, you're not going to earn the right to be able to really do it. So we have to buy our way out of this culture. It's going to take a lot of money to do it, to an effort. And it's expensive to get land and to set it up and to create villages. But we got to earn the right to do it.
Well, the first thing is to talk about what is the first step. The first step is it's not about just getting a cow or even getting land. I mean, those things are very essential, but it's all about, you know, the qualities that humans have to develop to live in a sane society. Some devotees, you know, some of us, we have to learn those qualities before we can really, you know. Anyway, civilized human beings have to, you know, see what the qualities that are needed are and work on that.
We need to be civilized to work together.
Yeah.
We'll just be fighting like cats and dogs.
Yeah.
That's what's happened in a lot of the intentional communities. And that's why 90% of intentional communities fail.
Yeah.
Because they don't work together. People don't know how to work together. Which is leadership.
Yeah.
Leadership is very important.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.